coming up on show 652, quick Corvettes, rapid Lotuses, and free charging for Leaf owners. Well, those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee. This is the edition for Monday, 25th of November. I've been through every EV story in the last 24 hours, whittled it down to save you time. I love doing this in my spare time. I know that you're busy. That makes you and I the perfect partnership. And talking about great partnerships, MyEV.com in the US have supported this podcast for well over a year now. And thank you so much to them for their continued support, as we love to see them grow as well. In the USA, if you're in your browser and you're typing in MyEV.com and you're looking at the page and you're thinking, yes, I am selling or buying or learning about EVs, you know you're in the right place. Let's kick off with VW's news that they are quitting motorsport with anything but electric cars. Volkswagen may have a long way to go before it doesn't have any road-going cars that are combustion-driven, but its racing division doesn't have to wait that long. The German brand has revealed its motorsport group will drop factory-backed commitments to race cars with combustion engines. It's either going to be pure electric or nothing at all, says Engadget. It's also comparatively easier for VW to pull out of gas-powered racing, given its current level of investments. Things like touring cars and, rally, really known for that. A shift to EVs might be harder for rivals like Mercedes-Benz that are fully into things like Formula One, but as of this season, as of last weekend on Friday and Saturday in Diria, Mercedes is a full manufacturer team now racing in Formula E, so they are hedging their bets a little bit. But for someone like VW, they are still racing very much with combustion fuels through things like Audi and Porsche, which they own, so not a wholesale shift as maybe the press release would want you to believe, but still a good news story. Let's talk about the Lotus. Not mentioned the Lotus in a while, have I? The boys from Norfolk, which include me. I'm an East Anglian boy. Well, a little bit Norfolk, a little bit Suffolk. And if I had an accent, I'd probably speak like that a little bit. But I don't have an accent from where I'm from. I tend to speak with more of a neutral accent. But all my friends and family, and many of them do sound like that. I don't. However... in Norfolk, Lotus, legendary name, owned by Geely these days, planning to put Lotus back on the map with their supercar, their electric hypercar, we'll call it, the Evija. And according to Motor1.com, it's now been seen in a video online. It's about a minute long. They're on the racetrack. Since July, we haven't heard much news, really, but now we can see it going around a racetrack. Well, I say we can see it. The shots cut too quickly, and it's got a thumping soundtrack behind it. What I really wanted to hear was the electric motors, because there's more than one, and I really wanted to hear the sound of it. Like, I love the sound of a fast electric car, because they all sound subtly different, you know? And so I eagerly hit play on this video, and it's just like, boom, 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 chup, boom, chup, boom, chup. I sound like an old man now describing club music, but it's just like, oh, come on, don't put music with it, let me hear the car. So, we think it's a Dunsford Aerodrome. That's where Top Gear's track was, or is, in Surrey. 130 of the Evija are going to be made. Lotus says comprehensive validation and initial build process is actually underway at the moment. Output of just under 2,000 horsepower. Yeah, I know. 0 to 60, which is 0 to 62, everyone gets obsessed with. That's going to be less than 3 seconds. I know that the new Tesla Roadster, yes, less than 2 seconds, but 0 to 60 is not the be-all and end-all of making a car go fast around a track, and particularly the next bit of the power delivery is as important, because if you're coming out of a corner at 60 and you put your foot down, you don't care what it'll do 0 to 60. You want the next bit. So like 0 to 124 miles an hour, the next bit is done in another 3 seconds. So it's 3 seconds 0 to 60 and 6 seconds to 124. That's 200 kilometres an hour. After 6 seconds, you're then travelling at 200 k's, and the world will be going past rather quickly outside those big windows. Let's move on and talk about another quick car, and this is a quick Corvette. The C8 Corvette ZR1 will be hybrid. 900 horsepower in this. We heard the rumour over a year ago now, that the new mid-engined Corvette could be hybrid. And according to Jalopnik, the electric system is going to be mated with a twin-turbo V8. As per Motor Trend, they say we can report from an even higher-placed source within the company, the range-topping C8 Corvette ZR1 will add an electrical system, a hybrid system. How is this for an admission that a Corvette can't go any quicker without some electrics and some batteries? Adding a hybridized system and the all-new performance-oriented hybrid system will fill in any torque gaps and increase the power to 900 horsepower. So yes, they unveiled the Corvette C8 recently and were saying, oh, no, we're all about, you know, the Corvette's all about loud, noisy, rah, rah, burning fuels, rah, rah, rah. And of course, the Corvette fans were happy. And then when they wanted to make a quicker one, they were like, well, yeah, we could make it an EV. It's a hybrid, I know. Awkward. Moving on. At the launch of the Volkswagen ID. Cross concept, we all looked at it and went, well, that's quite nice. And then the US fans looking at it went, well, we like it even more because that's the first one we're getting. Yes, the Volkswagen ID.3, which is coming next summer, will not be making its way stateside. US listeners will have to wait for the ID.4, which is the ID. Cross concept evolving. And now we have a better idea of what it will look like, thanks to new spice shots, says Autoblog. The ID.4 is seen in these shots with less camouflage, despite some flourishes that make it look like a bit like an opal. The overall effect, it's very attractive. I know that's subjective. What we're seeing here is perhaps the best looking of the ID variants, whether that's the concept or even the production versions. Like all electric architecture from VW, it uses the MEB platform, and it's a crossover, dual motor setup, projected 250-mile range, 83-kilowatt-hour battery, and I've got to admit, it's a very, very good looking crossover segment, Model Y competitor. First one the US is going to get. I don't know when it'll come. Maybe 2021, yeah. Fingers crossed, because that's a good looking EV. That is a popular EV. If only they can get the thing on sale. Elon Musk, you won't be surprised to hear, has been on a bit of a high after the Tesla Cybertruck unveiling. It is now the most Googled search term ever in the history of Tesla. Massive few days, window shattering or not. And yes, I have seen those conspiracy theories of people saying that the windows shattered on purpose just to get more publicity. That would be a conspiracy theory one step too far for me. But Elon Musk has been on a Twitter storm lately. He just keeps tweeting stuff. And one of those things is hinting at Tesla making a smaller version of the Cybertruck sometime in the future. Didn't say any more details like how he would do it. Never confirmed the dimensions of the original Cybertruck, by the way. But when he was on stage, he did say, same size as a Ford F-150. They haven't cheated and haven't made it extra big to get everything in. In fact, when I've seen side-by-side comparisons, it is very, especially the tug-of-war video. You've seen that, right, with the Cybertruck and the Ford F-150. They look, certain dimensions make the Cybertruck look bigger, but I think they're about the same. Now, a smaller truck, smaller vehicles, known as mid-size pickups, have a smaller bed, 4 feet to 5 feet, and a smaller cabin, generally seating 5, less room in the back. Very, very popular segment in the USA as well. A smaller Cybertruck as well would be welcome. Over here, we have small roads, and I must admit, one of the reasons why trucks haven't caught on is because even the Model X is too big for our roads. We didn't evolve as an infrastructure transport system with massive cars. And I'm a fan of really small city cars. One of my favourite cars was a Fiat Cinquecento that I had for bombing around town. Loved that. Loved the first Renault Zoe that we bought because that felt like a little roller skate that you could bomb around town. And we still do own the Renault Zoe, as you know, the big battery one. So I love small cars in the right situation, you know, when you haven't got room in the supermarket car park to swing your doors open, like you're barely getting in. Like, our parking spaces are small as well. We are not built for the Cybertruck in this country. A smaller truck would go down well. Right, final story, and according to the CEO of Panasonic, Kazuhiro Suga, Panasonic is not planning a new battery cell facility for Tesla anywhere in China. Officially, it remains open to whether Tesla will rely on other manufacturers for the Shanghai plant or be importing battery cells, according to this article in Electrive. And then according to Reuters, Suga's current statements reflect Panasonic's growing caution towards Tesla. The joint battery business of Panasonic and Tesla doesn't sustain profits yet anyway, and he admitted earlier this year it underestimated the risks associated with making Tesla batteries. I will remind you of multiple statements Elon's made online on investor calls that all new gigafactories from China onwards will include the whole shebang, right? Battery or cell production, battery making, paint shop, stamping, car production, everything. Gigafactory in Germany will have that, and the others will all have that. So you take him at his word, and also talking about recently extra buildings at Gigafactory Shanghai that are cropping up, and Elon confirming, yes, that is indeed for batteries, would make you think that maybe within that building at Giga Shanghai is going to be the cell production operated not with Panasonic, but with one of the other names that has been recently linked, like the contract with LG Chem, or even the domestic CATL. Makes you wonder. All right, let's talk about question of the week this week. Oh, it's a goodie. Tell me your thoughts on this. The controversial and botched Cybertruck launch is now the most Googled search term in the history of Tesla. But do you think it helped or hindered the wider movement towards EVs? There's no doubt the Cybertruck window-smashing launch and crazy styling launch went way beyond the EV press. And do you think that has helped or hindered the mass movement to EVs? Let me know. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com, or you can leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube. Well, there are indeed 251 patrons of this show. Thank you so much, especially those that have supported me for a very long time. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, and more as well. Thank you so much to all of you guys. If you want to get any of the archive shows, there are 651 previous shows in the archive. New ones come at you first and free and automatically if you are a subscriber, and it's a free subscription. It doesn't cost you a penny to subscribe to this podcast. And if you're not completely satisfied, I will give you your money back. Have a wonderful day. Catch you soon. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.